fighting for America.
Make a commitment to this committee that you will not succumb to any pressure by this administration to increase the pace of transfers from Guantanamo. Will you commit to that?
Absolutely.
Fighting for Idaho.
Under both Republicans and Democrats, Washington has become a place of big government, big business, and big labor.
Fighting for you.
What are you doing? We're in the middle of a nudist beach.
It's not anything against the nudists. They were in their environment, and they were looking at us like, what the heck are we doing here?
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Chief Chisholm joining us from the Harlem Globetrotters, and they're coming to town. It's February 23rd, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, February 23rd. You know all about living your dream. You're living your dream right now. Take us inside that. You've played sports at a high level. Mm-hmm. You represent your organization. I mean, such a historic organization. What's it like to be an ambassador for the sport and to be a role model?
Oh, man, it's sometimes surreal. Just growing up, being a kid, being from New York City, always wanting to be a professional basketball player, you know, it's just a dream come true. And I work hard for it, you know, just perfecting my craft every day. So anybody listening, I mean, for any kids out there listening, I'm probably in school right now, but
sure.
Practice makes perfect, man. Never giving up, always believing in yourself. But the fact that I'm a role model, man, still hits me to this day. Like, I flew into Boise yesterday. And I was in the airport, and a group of people had just saw me play in Salt Lake City in the Utah Jazz Arena. And it was in the airport. They just, cheese, oh, my gosh, you know. But to me, I still feel like myself from college, you know,
Sure.
You know, but it still hits me to this day how I'm a role model.
Now, let me hit you with this. Do you travel in your uniform?
Oh, no.
That's
too much attention. No.
I was going to say, you do get some private time there.
No, I get private time. On the plane, I probably wear regular clothes, but
okay.
They remember my face, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your dream. You've played college basketball at Ball State.
Yeah.
People were doubting you. You've made a point that, you know, when you talk about sticking to your dream, overcoming the doubters, tell us a little about that.
I mean, I was always a kid, a skinny kid at that. I think in my senior year of high school, I was probably 150 pounds, you know.
Sometimes being skinny is okay.
Yeah, I know, you know. But I was still a good basketball player, and I was just under-recruited. Because of my size, and but I just always had to just prove people wrong by just playing well all the time. Because as soon as I had a bad game, it'll be, oh, he just can't do it. You know how
right.
it is. You know how
yeah.
it is. But I mean, I'm happy that, and I'm fortunate enough to get a scholarship to Ball State University. And I think I had great people that gave me opportunity. You know, and without those opportunities, I wouldn't be here today. So thank you.
Well, you talk about Ball State in Indiana, the alma mater of David Letterman, mm-hmm. MAC play.
Yep.
A lot of people don't know. That's a highly competitive league. A lot of
definitely.
Pros have come out of there.
Yeah, definitely. And the fact that I went to Ball State, David Letterman, my major was communications and mass media. I graduated from his building.
Right.
You know, it was just the time goes by fast, man. It's like
right.
I graduated 2010. It's my fifth year with the Globetrotters. And
wow.
It's like, it's going by so fast, but I'm just embracing every minute of the day.
So when we talk about being a Globetrotter, how do you have any private life? Let's talk about your appearances. You guys are everywhere.
Yeah, we're in off season right now. Our season begins.
Off season, so this is your off season.
No, this is my season.
Okay.
Now.
All
right. It's the day after Christmas until April 27th.
Right.
And we play every day, 300 games. So we play almost every day, 300 games from Christmas until beginning of May. And then from May until Christmas, I'm off.
Right.
But in between that off time, we'll go to Australia for 3 weeks, China for 2 weeks. They're like mini vacations.
Sure.
Almost, you know?
Your experience being in China, most of us will just live through your words.
Oh, man. Been to China. Ni hao, wo jiao. Cheese. I mean, hi. My name is Cheese in Chinese. but it's a nice country, different.
Right.
And it has its own essence. I've been to the Great Wall. So it's a lot of things. I've been to Italy. I've been to Australia. I've been to Japan.
Right.
We play for the military troops every year.
Mm-hmm.
After Thanksgiving. We go to Japan. We go to Europe. the Middle East.
So as a communications major, a graduate,
yes.
Tell us what has made the most impact on you. Was it China? Was it the troops? Was it Italy?
Everything, man. It's hard to really pinpoint one thing because every city, every country has their own essence, you know? I had a Belgian waffle in Belgium. I had a Turkish bath in Turkey, Istanbul. I fed a kangaroo in Australia, you know? So it's
right.
I just try to really find different things and try to make the best of it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
If you can, talk a little bit about the history of the Globetrotters.
Yeah. The Globetrotters has been around since 1926.
Wow.
By a guy by the name of Abe Sapperstein founded the Harlem Globetrotters. And for those who don't know, the Harlem Globetrotters aren't from Harlem, New York. Everybody thinks that. Abe Sapperstein really originated us in Chicago, Illinois. And he used the name Harlem because at the time, 1926, Harlem was, I guess, the hub for African Americans.
Right.
He built his team, and they weren't even Globetrotters yet. They didn't travel the globe. They only played in Chicago, Illinois. So he named them Harlem. It was a marketing genius, they call him. So we had guys like Wilt Chamberlain, Marcus Haynes, Monolock Lemon, Curly Neal. The first African American to get drafted to the NBA was a Harlem Globetrotter. His name was Nate Sweetwater Clifton. We're just the ambassadors of goodwill. The history of us is just so much, man, and I'm really honored to be part of this organization.
We take a look at American history and we see such negativity. Geez, you and I live in a different world than they did in 1926.
Definitely.
What does that say, again, getting back to your communication skills, your journalistic skills here, of how far we've come and you have this iconic institution still relevant, still entertaining folks today?
I think that it means a lot. And personally, me and my teammates talk about it all the time. I think back then there was a need for the Harlem Globetrotters,
right.
You know, especially as far as when it comes to having a source for African Americans to showcase their skills, you know. And nowadays, I feel sometimes it might not be as, I guess, people might overlook us at times now because the NBA is so big now, you know. And at times, let's say like in, I don't know, 1940s, when the Minneapolis Lakers were playing, the Harlem Globetrotters actually used to open up for the NBA.
Right.
They used to have the Harlem Globetrotters game before the NBA because the NBA wasn't selling well. So, like, they'll have the Harlem Globetrotters game, and when our games were over, people will leave. You know, so
right.
It's just that history that people don't know, but it's our job to keep it going.
Indeed. So we talk about the NBA. We'll get to that. Let's talk about February 23rd here in the Treasure Valley. What can folks see? What's different from, let's say, a couple years ago till today that y'all will be doing?
Yeah, we'll be at Century Link Arena on February 23rd at 7 p.m. And the Harlem Globetrotter game is like I tell people, it's more than four quarters. It's really a memory. And you could be from 8 to 80 years old. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Harlem Globetrotter game, but everybody that talks about a Harlem Globetrotter game, they said I was in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, with my grandfather. I was in Springfield, Illinois, with my grandmother. They know exactly what time, who they were with, what they were doing. And that's what we bring to the game. It's high-flying dunks, showmanship, entertainment, great basketball play. We have a four-point shot, which is my specialty. It's 35 feet from the basket. 12 feet further than the NBA line. So I like to shoot those far shots.
It'd probably keep you away from the halftime of the NBA games, too, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I would stay away from those, yeah.
You know, and there's lessons in a Globetrotter event, a Globetrotter game, where you have entertainment, but it's sportsmanship as well.
Oh, definitely. Just with the great showmanship we have, Ant Atkinson. He takes after Metalock Lemon, you know. And I just feel, man, we have an autograph session at the end of each game. We're probably the only professional team that signs autographs at the end of each game.
Sure.
So it's a great, great experience if you haven't been to one.
Let's talk a little bit, and we'll continue on here at 580-KIDO. If you have a question, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Chief Chisholm with us from the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, how big is the NBA? You're a young guy.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is your guy. But how relevant is Michael Jordan to you?
Oh, I mean, yeah, definitely. Michael Jordan's probably the greatest of all time. I have to give it to him. He just revolutioned the game with fashion, with just style, his play, who he was.
Sure.
So the NBA is the NBA. And I give all those guys kudos, you know. And And the fact that I'm still able to play professional basketball and still travel the world, we play more games than them. I mean, it's just, I think our schedule is probably more grueling. But, I mean, as far as just being a basketball player on a professional level, man, it takes a lot. And it's everybody that make it to that level, it's just, I know the work they put in.
How physically challenging is it for you?
To play sports, I mean, us, we have to just make sure we're mentally strong.
A lot of traveling.
Yeah, a lot of traveling, you know, away from your family from a long time. And with me personally, just trying to stay, just trying not to get hurt, mm-hmm. basically, you know, because it's just trying to stay healthy, stretching a lot of massages, going to the hot tub, just trying to stay really physically just able to play.
Now, I'm sure you get this all the time. Can you talk a little bit about the current lineup of the roster?
Oh, yeah. We have Ant Atkinson. We have Firefly Fisher. We have Thunder Law. I don't know if you've seen on YouTube. He has this last year, he hit the longest, the Guinness Book of World Records, the longest shot.
Right.
I forgot how long it was. But then this year, he hit the longest backward shot. It was on ESPN. And he'll be here in Boise. So we have a good lineup of guys, and it'll be a great game.
Now, part of your brand is doing appearances like this and on local TV.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know, in the past, and you'll have to pardon me if they're not in the lineup now, you've got the guys that were on The Amazing Race.
Oh, yeah. Big Easy Lofton, Flight Tom Lang.
Right.
That was a great experience. Funny guys. Yeah.
Yeah, you take a look at that. How did that enhance the brand of the Globetrotters?
I think it enhanced us a lot because at the time, we used to be on Scooby-Doo. We used to play every weekend on Disney. You know, people saw us more, and I think they need to see us more, especially now, so we can revolution this generation and know who the Globetrotters are. So The Amazing Race really helped us a lot.
You're a digital guy.
Yeah.
We have to stop you from tweeting and doing your phones and all this. But
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
But, again, the challenge of, you know, you doing what you're doing with basketball in the digital world. I mean, mm-hmm. kids today, when you were growing up, you went to school and you – hit the playground, and it was about playing basketball. And then you have kids that today are PlayStation, World of Witchcraft.
Yeah.
So to get their attention to play sports as opposed to gaming sports.
Good question. I think I'm a tweener, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so old where I didn't have electronics or have that. I was in the middle. Like, I remember my mom having to answer the phone and give me the – you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the
having
phones.
A house phone.
Yes,
only
house
one phone in the house.
Right.
Now everybody in the house has a phone.
Right.
So I was right in the middle, like, of that transition of it.
Right.
But I remember playing – I remember waking up every day in the summertime at 10 o'clock, not coming back in until 6 o'clock, playing basketball all day.
Right.
But nowadays, kids, I don't know. I just hope that they – I guess I like to instill passion in the kids, just letting them know how hard it really is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, not even for sports, for radio, for TV, for anything you want to do. Like – staying at home playing video games is not going to get it done.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how long do we have you? Do we have you till the bottom of the hour, or do you have to go?
No, we're fine. We have, like, 10 more minutes.
All right, good. Well, you see, you're running this thing.
Yeah, so. I was looking at my phone to give a shout-out to St. Mark's Catholic School
mm-hmm.
because I'm going there today to talk to the kids about a program we have, the ABCs of Anti-Bullying.
And we'll talk about that next.
Perfect.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Night. 580 KIDO, Chiefs Chisholm with us from the Harlem Globetrotters. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So you're going to St. Mark's today. Talk a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah, we have a program. Called the ABCs of Anti-Bullying.
Mm-hmm.
The A stands for action, B stands for bravery, C stands for compassion. So we talk to the kids about bullying, how it shouldn't happen, and but within a fun experience. You don't want to be too boring. So I go out, spin the basketball, kids go crazy, and then I just talk to them. First, I talk to them about following their dreams. And then
now, why is that important to tell these kids? Because we all have dreams. A lot of us live it. Some of us don't.
Yeah, because I think I know how important I am as a role model. So I just know I never had nobody come to my school. So I know how it is not to have nobody come. And I know these kids probably don't listen to their parents. They don't listen to their teachers.
Right.
So if I have the opportunity to be in that presence and have them listen to me. I try to do my best. So I talk to them about following their dreams, the bullying speech, and then I have them come up and do tricks with me.
Right.
We play a game, then I'm done. But it's 45 minutes. So it was a great experience for the kids in St. Mark's Catholic at the school today. We'll have a good time.
What's more challenging, playing before sold-out arenas or holding 20 or 30 or 50 kids' attention?
Oh, 30? You mean 300?
Well, 300.
A lot
wow.
of kids.
Wow.
Elementary school kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. What's more challenging? I guess they're both the same. I'm so used to it now, it's kind of easy. It's just basically just making sure you just have their attention, but it's not too hard. Those kids, they kind of love me, so it's kind of fun.
Well, I'm glad they kind of love you.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Yeah.
What about the bullying message for people, for parents right now? Because, you know, a lot of us, look, you grew up in a very challenging place.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't have bullying regulations at, the Bronx there.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
Right. You smile about that. But,
definitely.
You know, for parents that may or may not be educated about the effects of bullying and what goes on today in schools that you'll be speaking about.
I think it's very serious. And people never know until you're that kid. Like, nobody really knows until you're that kid that's being bullied. Because somebody can tell you, like, to go tell, like, I could be being bullied, and I was like, I need help, and nobody's really hit with the problem until you're that person. And now, with this society we're in now with the kids, like we talked about social media, it's even worse.
Right.
You know what I mean? One time I was playing Xbox with my brother on Xbox Live. I'm like, oh my gosh, the language on this thing is horrendous.
Right.
You know? Then, like, from Twitter and calling people names on Instagram and, just crazy stuff. It's not just at school anymore. It's when you're home. It's when you're on vacation. It's just that bad for kids now. And I just think it leads to suicides. It leads to so many things that's tragic. And I think things like this, messages like this needs to be said. It needs to happen.
Well, and the great thing about getting away from the cyberbullying is you can take a ball and go find a basket and just find comfort in trying to get that ball through the hoop
times. Yeah, there you go. Or just, I don't know, keeping your kids active, I guess. You know, having them do things. Piano lessons, basketball, football, anything.
Washing the car.
Yeah, washing the car. I used to play the xylophone.
Really?
Yeah, I was in a chess club, so I was pretty active.
Right. You know? Yeah. Boy, that's a diverse background.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, what goes on into a game with the Globetrotters? What goes on behind the scenes?
The work that we put into it, the training camp. We have a training camp every year in August. It's from probably 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're in a gym just working out, working on tricks, working on what we're going to do for the next tour. Because with us, we want to bring fans in and have a new experience every year. So we're thinking about what can we do this year? What can be new? What can we do this year? Last year we did Trick Shot Challenge. We did the fans actually had a chance to vote on what they wanted us to do in a game.
Oh, great. You know,
so that made it kind of...
Give the power to the people.
Exactly.
Yeah, watch out for them.
You know, you go. And then this year, it's the revenge of the Washington Generals.
Well, they're always having revenge, aren't they?
No, last year we didn't play them.
Wow.
No, last 4 years we didn't play them. So
they got the boot.
Yeah, they got the boot. They couldn't keep up. So we gave them another chance this year, this tour.
Right.
So we're playing them this year. And we just got to play them every day.
Now, have they ever won?
They've won in the 50s. I don't want to be on that team that loses to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And, also, what's special this year, you see, I have a camouflage basketball, and this is for our Hometown Hero Initiative.
Right.
And all you have to do for anybody that comes to a game is go to HarlemGoldTribes.com, and if they have a hometown hero that they want to nominate, they type their name in, and if they win, they get a free ticket to the game, they get to sit on the bench with us, and they get a free basketball, camouflage basketball. So that's special this year for us.
Well, that's awesome. HarlemGlobetrotters.com.
Yes, sir.
For more information. So back to you.
Yeah.
You know, it happens to all of us. We get more and more miles on the odometer. So whether it's 5 or 10 years from now, when you're talking to your kids and you're coaching and you're contributing, because that is such an important part of what you're about, how would you like to be remembered as a member of one of the most historical groups in American history?
That's a good question.
I don't have answers. I just have questions.
Yeah, your questions are great, man. I haven't had these kind of questions in a while. Making me think. All right, I would like to say I was a humble guy. I cared. I was positive, you know.
Right.
Those are probably the three main things, because I do care a lot, you know.
That's so necessary today, to be positive.
Yeah, definitely, man. Especially with everything we see on TV and all this crazy stuff. But
sure.
I try to stay in a positive light and keep things nice.
And finally, one more time, you're going to be here February
23rd? Oh, yeah, February 23rd, CenturyLink Arena. Come check out the Harlem Globetrotters. Great time, great experience, great memories.
Thank you, Cheese.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men, men.
And good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Saturdays 5 to 8. Dave Burnett with us with the Manly Man segment. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So, another day, the day after the big day, signing day. The potato is good to go. Yesterday, we kind of acquiesced to you. Do you have anything you'd like to share with us this morning?
I'm curious to see how the media handles something, because remember there was a thing, was that last week, where we had balls that were deflated or something? Yes, Deflategate, and the media went crazy over it. Over the fact that maybe that Belichick and Brady are liars and that they aren't telling the truth and they went nuts. Remember all that?
Vividly.
You suppose the media is going to go nuts over the fact that Brian Williams, anchor for NBC, is a liar, a self-confessed liar? Or is the media going to go nuts over this?
You know, I've had a couple people send me the messages and such, and he admitted to being a liar like you alluded to. You know the answer to that, don't you?
I don't think they will, but he has apologized. I mean, this is something that should end his career. Remember Dan Rather has put together that whole fake document to try to make George Bush Jr. look bad. And that kind of burned him a bit. But, I mean, this is something that, and I don't know how he thought he could get away with this. And I don't know how he got away with it as long as he did. Making up a story about something that happened, or I should say embellishing, not making it up, but embellishing a story that happened in Iraq and about taking fire and getting hit, the helicopter getting, and it wasn't true. And now some of the soldiers came out and went, wait a minute, that never happened that way. And now he's apologized for, you know, kind of making it up. He's just not sure what happened to him. Are we just going to give that a pass?
Well, I think you know the answer to your statement there, and you think about Brian Williams, and I've told you in the past of my personal experience with him when he was covering a couple of issues and said that security was tight in the town of Birmingham because of the racial angst there, which hadn't been there since the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing, and yet it made for good viewing. And you take a look at not only Brian Williams, but NBC itself, MSNBC, that doubled down on the progressive agenda. A lot of tune out there, a lot of people saying that they've got to blow up the whole lineup, if you will. The only two shows that are working are Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews. So NBC, MSNBC has a lot of challenges, but let's move on with your theory here, with your statement. Let's say that people were outraged that Brian Williams lied and said he's a liar and apologized for being a liar. Who are you going to put into that chair?
Katie Couric.
Well, no, she's at Yahoo now.
Oh, that's right, and they tried her once. That didn't work.
At CBS, yes. Remember, because she decided to blow up the news format because it was old, stale, and tired, and they still haven't had the numbers they had when they had Bob Schieffer there, the old guy.
See, I don't know that they're going to ever, the three networks, ever recoup what they once had. There's just too many other outlets. And as you have people discrediting themselves.
Right. Well.
And not even to say you got a slant on the news, but you're making stuff up.
I got to tell you, well, how many people really believe the media anyway?
Oh, a lot do.
One outlet that I think has it right, and it's a very fast-paced, I think the guy's in his early 40s. It's ABC with David Muir.
Mm-hmm.
And they really take it to a different level. It's kind of very similar to this program when we're in the schools or the rescue mission or the animal shelter or getting people jobs. And they have this thing called Made in America, and it's, call it cause journalism, advocacy journalism. And it really, they go all over the country and they support people, not just report the bad news. And they seem to be very effective at it. They've surpassed Brian Williams before the lying incident.
Yeah, I just find it fascinating. This is an incident that allegedly took place back in 2003. So for now, 12 years, and he brought it up again just last week in a situation. I think that's what got him exposed, is that there were military people that heard it for the first time going, wait a minute, well, I was there. That never happened.
The situation involved him being in a helicopter taking fire, and it was forced down, and RPG this and that, and he had to recant that statement. Yes.
Yeah, and so I just don't know. You know, if you even have half a brain and you made the story up, let's say you got crazy and I wanted to embellish, make it sound bigger than it really was, you'd keep pounding it for 12 years? Wouldn't you let it go at some point? Why would you keep bringing that up?
Because it becomes part of the narrative. Look at George O'Leary, who, let's face it, if he had been Notre Dame's coach, I think they would have won a national title or been in competition. He lied on his resume. And the lie becomes fact until somebody catches you. You know, here's a guy that didn't need to lie, didn't need to do any of that, and yet he did. So Brian Williams, it became part of the narrative. Now, there's a way where I think you can walk back from that. Well, you know something, there are a lot of courageous people, and I might, you know something, compared to what they've done, it's an embellishment. Or I might have embellished a little. Look at Hillary Clinton. Where I went into Kosovo under fire, and I had to wear a bulletproof vest. Oh, look, there she is in the crowd. There's,
yeah. I guess. Any stories you want to make up today?
You know,
it's open season to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, hold on here. Before we move on, let's hear from Brian Williams.
On this broadcast last week, in an effort to honor and thank a veteran who protected me and so many others after a ground fire incident in the desert during the Iraq War invasion, I made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. It did not take long to hear from some brave men and women in the air crews who were also in that desert. I want to apologize. I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. We all landed after the ground fire incident and spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm in the Iraq desert. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran and, by extension, our brave military men and women, veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not. I hope they know they have my greatest respect.
What do you make of that? A mistake? You didn't say I'm a liar.
Okay. I'm not sure, and I've never been in this situation. But I'm thinking if I'm on a plane that's hit with some sort of a heat-seeking missile, I'd remember that. It was a bungled attempt to remember. What? You're saying you got hit by a missile? And you bungled the attempt to remember that? Heck, I remember when there's bouncy airline flights. I remember, oh, that was bad.
Right.
And somehow he bungled the attempt. Now, what's amazing, he talked to David Letterman about it. And Letterman basically called him an American hero for coming out and telling the truth. It's like, oh my goodness. I don't get it. Okay, I get that you embellish something.
Yeah.
But you sit in the anchor chair at NBC News. That's just amazing to me. I bungled my attempt to remember. I'm not quite sure what happened.
Well, I think that kind of explains a little idiosyncrasy that I have in my life.
Uh-oh. You were once a king of Jordan?
No, but, you know...
Go with that.
You know me, and I've said it on the air enough that people know this, that I have a bunch of stories.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you roll... Oh, no, here comes Miller again with his stories. And I'm always obsessed with finding out whether I've embellished anything or what I'm saying is actually factual. And last year, I found out that a lot of things that I had assumed or speculated on were factual. I don't know. I just want to throw that in there. I'm no Brian Williams.
Boy, ain't that the truth. You have never been in a plane hit by an RPG.
Right. But, I mean,
You have. Maybe you just didn't remember right.
Well, I did fly into Baghdad, and it was bumpy, and they turned off the lights.
It was probably RPGs.
Yeah.
My goodness. It was my bungled attempt to honor what? What does that all mean?
Let me know if you want to hear that again. But, yeah, I mean, whatever happened to I made a mistake, I was wrong. I like this in my attempt. So if you're a news guy or whatever, if you make an attempt to honor someone and you totally mislead everyone.
Well, Kevin, I would like to honor the men and women who have fought for us by letting you know that when we were pinned down by enemy machine gun fire, it was a harrowing event for me in Afghanistan. Oh, wait, I've never been there. Never mind. It was a bungled attempt to remember something that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just amazing to me. Maybe I'm obsessing over it. I just don't get it.
Well, you're not with the times.
I guess not. Hashtag liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yes, hashtag, yes.
Now I'm with it. Hash browns.
So we've got that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I had a dream last night. I was working for LeBron James.
How'd that work out for you? Is it a good boss?
He was okay. I mean, I stood out.
You know what? Don't put the dream part on it. Just say you work for LeBron James.
I
bungle that memory.
I worked for LeBron. We were in Akron together. Yeah. I was part of his support team.
Great times.
Yeah, the king said he wanted to do certain things, and I said, okay. And, yeah, we had a great time.
Boy, you know, that's great. You should blog about that and put pictures of you and LeBron up when you used to work for him.
Yeah.
That's just your bungled attempt to remember it.
to honor
the NBA.
Yes, to honor the NBA.
My goodness. The things we dream and why we dream them.
Exactly.
Yeah. What else you got? I mean, I went off on my rant on Robin Williams or whatever his name is, Brian Williams.
You ever take those Facebook surveys?
No.
Like if you're a superhero or whatever?
No.
Oh,
well. No. Did you do that?
I have a funny story. So last night I took this Star Wars one. Now, the superhero one, I can always pretty much either I'm Wolverine or Batman, all right? Because it's how you answer these questions. And so this was a pretty in-depth one because you can kind of figure out how to guide these things. Mm-hmm. So I took the Star Wars one, and I go to Mrs. Miller. I go, hey, man, I took the Star Wars quiz. Who do you think I was? Darth Vader. I go.
Your wife said that?
Oh, it gets better.
Oh, boy.
I go, no. R2-D2? No.
Were you an Ewok?
No. And she goes, Obi-Wan? I go, I wish. I was Yoda. But I couldn't believe she said that I was Darth Vader. I go, man, I've got some issues here at home.
Wow.
It was just so funny. She goes, Darth Vader. I go, what? So I find those things fun. We had a bunch of listeners do that last night as well. And I don't know. I was trying to be Obi-Wan. But anyway, regardless of that, we do have National Signing Day yesterday. And people are going to go, oh, you're talking sports. This is not a sports story when we're talking about these young people thrust into the spotlight, is it?
Well, I mean, it's related to sports, yeah. But it is interesting when you take somebody who's 18 years old and suddenly stick a camera in their face. It's very intimidating, and kids can either come off looking...
Well, they didn't look intimidating yesterday. Hey, look at me. Here's my hat. Here's my other hat.
Yeah. I mean, you know, kids can either wind up looking really intelligent or looking really dumb. I mean, it's an intimidating thing to have if you've never had a camera thrust in your face, for one thing, they're much closer than you think they are.
The camera or the kid?
The cameras, when they're, you know, doing those interviews. So suddenly you got a camera, you know, 18 inches from your face. It's a little intimidating.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I discussed it with somebody last night. Just, a little, you know, it's kind of taking advantage of these kids for sensationalism and for the media, the fact of where they're going to go to school. But yeah, I digress. Yeah,
you and I were having a almost a fisticuffs conversation about the whole signing day and whether or not it's appropriate for schools to be a part of it. And, you know, we've got all these marathon broadcasts part of it. And does it damage the kids? And I like this idea that the kid goes, yeah, I'm going to be playing for such and such. And I'm going, hey, man, coming up in August when you're doing double sessions, if I'm those coaches, okay, superstar, up downs, how about some burpees? Okay, superstar. I mean, come on. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I understand. I mean, the school is saying, look what we have done. We have graduated these kids to go on and do these things. But shouldn't we also do that for kids who are academically maybe moving on to Stanford or to, you know, to Princeton? Or shouldn't we do that for kids who are academically excelling?
Well, and maybe I'm getting soft in my old age, I really like the idea that you have not just the football people, but you have like the softball people, the blah, blah, blah people. And really, is it that big a deal that you're going to spend 3 hours in a place? I mean, in the end of it, if you're in your 30s, well, maybe not your 30s, because I think you're still kind of a kid. If you're in your 40s or 50s, do you really care what a 18-year-old's going to say? Hey, I'm gonna revive the tide, everybody. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, at what point, when do they say something different than
when are you an adult?
Yeah. But yeah, when are you gonna say something different?
It's like Bear Bryant said, why don't they pay chemistry professors millions of dollars? Can they fill up an 85,000 seat stadium?
It's true, they don't bring in as much revenue to the school.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Harsin, he's bringing a lot of revenue into that school.
Did you get a chance to hear him at all?
I did not.
He, interesting cat, that guy, talking about one day perhaps the big trophy, alluding to the national title, and really put over his coaches, I guess they all do, and his kids quite a bit, and how they're moving on to the NFL. But if it doesn't work out, you get a degree and such. I saw him there at the Village. Which, and I know we have to go here, but going behind the scenes, boy, the Village is really creating itself, taking things away from Boise.
It is. A lot of people getting taken to Meridian.
But I mean the events that they're coming up with.
Yeah. Oh, darn it. Don't have enough time either. How's that Eric Agrabologi doing?
Eric Bologi.
Yeah, he was one of the top recruits for Boise State back in 2011.
Hey, man, Nick Patty should be the starting quarterback.
No.
He was robbed.
But I will say this. Second top recruit for Boise State back in 2011, Jay Ajayi, did okay. Traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County at
5:59. Thank you for starting your day with us. We're just getting rolling. Coming up next, one senator says the budget won't work. What it means for you, your wallet, and your savings.